Aren't you so glad that Jesus came, was born?
Amen.
What a difference it made. You know, we looked at that Sunday, what a difference his birth brought, the new covenant. What a change it's made in our world and in our lives. We're going to look at a prophecy again tonight, 700 years before his birth. Our Christmas series that we started last Wednesday was... it's based upon Hebrews 12:3, where it said, "For consider him." And that verb means to consider means to contemplate, to ponder, to meditate on, to consider attentively. And so we're challenged by that verse to contemplate how Jesus is so much better. And we're looking at the five names that's given to him here in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. And each one of these names tells us something very, very important about Jesus, who he is, and what he's done for us, or what he does for us, I could say. You know, last week we looked at the name Wonderful. In every way, Jesus, he is wonderful. And who he is, and what he does. You know, I asked you last week to think about, meditate upon that name of Christ, and how has Christ, thinking about him, brought wonder and awe in your life this last week? I hope he has. I hope that you've spent some time considering Christ. Well, tonight we're going to look at the second name given to Christ here in Isaiah 9:6, his name is Counselor. So we're going to read this verse again. Very familiar verse, very precious verse, very eye-opening verse. Isaiah 9:6. "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for sending your beloved Son into this world. We're thankful that this prophecy given by Isaiah 700 years before the birth of Christ, that it's partly fulfilled when he came. But there's still yet to be a consummation of this prophecy, the government being upon the shoulder of our Savior. We know that is coming. But we're thankful that you sent your Son to begin the fulfillment of this prophecy. And we're thankful for the names that are given to our Savior. And these five names are not even enough. There's over 200 names we know of Christ and titles in the Scripture. And that's not even enough, because Christ is so wonderful. He's so precious. And Lord, we thank you that tonight, as we look at the next name of Christ as our Counselor, Lord, I pray that you'd open our eyes to see he is a wonderful Counselor, to see that we can trust in him. We can look to him for counsel. Lord, tonight we pray that you'd give us even greater awe of our Savior and a greater thankfulness that he came to die for our sins and to be our Savior. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to ask you, when your back is against the wall, when you have a problem or there's a dilemma, when there's a crisis, what is the first thing that you do after the panic? Now, that's a good question to ask. You know, we might call a friend, we might call a family member, And there's nothing wrong with that. But I believe that the first person we should turn to is Jesus. Because the counsel that he offers is second to none. There's no counsel that we can get, no comfort that we can receive like that of Jesus. Jesus is not only wonderful in his person, but he's wonderful in his role as counselor. You know, Isaiah, and later on in chapter 28, verse 29, he says, "This also coming forth from the Lord of hosts, which is wonderful in counsel and excellent in working." You know, I love that phrase, wonderful in counsel. Jesus is wonderful as a counselor, and we're going to see that tonight. But before we begin to look at that, let's look at how this word counselor can be used. It's actually can be used in two different ways. It can be defined two different ways, that is. The first way is one who offers counsel or advice. And that's how most of us think of this word, counselor. Most all of us are familiar with the people in the counseling profession, how they give advice or wisdom out of personal concern for those seeking their advice. And so that's one usage of the word counselor, is someone who offers counsel or advice. But there's another way it's used in the scripture and in life, is used of an attorney who represents and advises in court. And so counselor, you probably heard, is another name for an attorney or a lawyer. It's used in that sense of someone who would plead someone's case in court or advise their clients on legal matters. And I want to say tonight that Jesus, that he fulfills both of those roles. He fulfills both of those definitions of the word counselor. Because I want you to think about it. The first usage, Christ, he offers us counsel in all seasons, for all seasons of our life. I would say that again, in all seasons and for all seasons of our life. That's what Christ does. He offers us counsel. It's not just when we are confounded and in perplexity or in hard times, but he gives us counsel in good times, in prosperous times, in all seasons of our lives. Christ is there to give us counsel. No matter what season of life you're in right now, Christ is a counselor giving counsel. And his counsel comes through various means, and I want to just spend just a little bit to explain how he does give us counsel. One of the ways is through his word. He gives us counsel through his word, and that's probably the most obvious and that we can think of. But I want you to look in Psalm 119. Earlier this year, we went through this Psalm 119 on Wednesday night, and I don't know if you remember, but when we looked at several verses, I want to look at verse 24. It says in Psalm 119, verse 24, "Thy testimonies also are my delight and my counselors." And so that verse uses the word counselors here of the Word of God. And then in verse 98, it says this, "Thou through thy commandments had made me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever with me." And then 105 is one that's very familiar. "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." And so it's through the word of God that we receive divine counsel from the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's one way that he counsels us. But another way is through his spirit. He counsels us through his spirit. And if you're saved tonight, your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit lives in you. And I want you to notice what Jesus said about the Holy Spirit in John, the Gospel of John. I want to look at these verses. Tonight's going to be kind of like a Bible study night. We're going to look at a lot of verses because I want you to see how Christ is a counselor. He's a wonderful counselor. He's wonderful in his counsel. But here in John 14:26, this is what Jesus said. He said, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you." You know, this word comforter, I love how the Greek word breaks it down as one who comes alongside of us to comfort us. Someone that comes alongside of us like a friend to not only comfort but counsel us. And Jesus says that the Comforter, the Holy Ghost, he will come alongside of us to be our counselor, our comforter, to teach us all things. And then in chapter 16 in John, verse number 13, he says again, "Howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. And he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come." And so the Spirit of God will guide you into all truth. And one more verse in Romans 8. Paul was writing this letter, and he tells us here in Romans chapter 8, in verse number 14. Romans 8:14. "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." So it's very clear here that the Holy Spirit has a ministry of counseling us, leading us, guiding us, teaching us in the ways of the Lord. And so today, Christ's ministry in teaching us is through His Word and through His Spirit. But there's also another way, and that is through Spirit-filled believers. Spirit-filled believers. The Lord will counsel us oftentimes using godly, Spirit-filled believers. And you know, some people think that only the Scriptures does God counsel us. That's not necessarily true. And everything should be based upon the Scripture. It should be filtered through the Scripture. But there are many ways that God speaks to us today. Not just these three that we're looking at tonight. There are other ways God speaks, but these are the primary three I can see. And I want to give you some scriptures on this. And Romans 15 is the first one. And I want you to see what the Scripture says here in Romans 15 and verse 14. Paul said, "And I myself am also persuaded of you." Now, who's he writing to? He's writing to the churches there in Rome. He's writing to believers in churches. He's not writing just to pastors. He's not writing just to what you would say deacons. He's writing to all the members of these churches, these believers. And he says that, "I am persuaded of you, my brethren, that ye also are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, able also to admonish one another." This word admonish should be another word for counsel. When we counsel someone, we admonish someone, we put something in their mind, some truth into their mind to encourage them or to lead them or guide them. And that's the idea of this word admonish, to put into the mind. And there's another verse in Colossians 3:16. This is pretty familiar, and it's pretty clear as well, that it's our responsibility as believers to walk in the Spirit, be filled with the Word of Christ, so that we can counsel one another. Look in verse 16 of Colossians 3. "Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom." Now notice what it says. "Teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord." So teaching and admonishing one another. So these are just a couple of verses out of many that we could look at that show us that the different ways that God would counsel us. It's because Jesus, obviously, he's not here on earth today. He's not here in the flesh today. He's ascended back to heaven. And so the way that he counsels today is through these means, His Word, His Holy Spirit, and through Spirit-filled believers. And so Christ fulfills that first definition of someone who gives counsel or advice. He does give us counsel or advice. But in that other definition of being an attorney or a lawyer, in that sense, we know at times that we, as believers, we may disregard His counsel. We may disregard His Word. You know, the Lord some clear direction in our life. We may disregard and sin against Him and make a bad decision. And what does that mean? Well, that means we need restoration. We need to go to the Father and be restored in fellowship with Him. And so when we turn to the Lord and confess our sins, Jesus represents us at the throne of grace as our counselor or as our mediator. And we see that in a couple of scriptures, Hebrews 4:16. I'm not going to go there. That's pretty familiar. But, you know, it tells us to come boldly to the throne of grace. But the other one I do want to look at, 1 John 2:1. He said, "These things I write unto you, my little children, that ye sin not. But if any man sin," he says, "we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous." So if any man sin, we have an advocate. What is an advocate? A counselor, a lawyer, someone who defends us, someone who represents us. So Jesus, he's not only a counselor to us. I want you to get this. He's a counselor for us. And those two roles, a counselor to us and a counselor for us. And it's wonderful to think about that role that Christ plays in our lives as believers. I like what Charles Spurgeon wrote about our need for Jesus as a counselor. He said, "It was by a counselor that this world was ruined. Did not Satan mask himself in the serpent and counsel the woman with exceeding craftiness that she should take unto herself of the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, in the hope that thereby she should be as God? Was it not that evil counsel which provoked our mother to rebel against her Maker? And did it not, as the effect of sin, bring death into this world with all of its train of woe? Ah, beloved, it was meet that the world should have a counselor to restore it if it had a counselor to destroy it." End quote. Spurgeon. That was written years and years ago, but what a great observation that the fall into sin came because of an evil counselor. There are many examples in the Bible of evil counselors. There are warnings about us not heeding the counsel of the ungodly. Psalm 1 is one that I think of. And so we got to realize there's bad counselors and there's good counselors. But Jesus, remember, He is wonderful in His counsel. But so often, we as believers, we fail to turn to Jesus as our counselor. I mean, think of how many times we want to just figure it out on our own. I mean, we've got so many resources today at our disposal. I mean, the internet, for one. I mean, I think of YouTube. I mean, you can do anything with YouTube. I mean, I'm just amazed at what you can do. And I've just, you know, this past year gotten into biking. And so I've had to do a little bit of, it's been years since I've done mechanic work on bikes. And nowadays they're different. Getting some new tires sometime back. Getting some new tires and put on, and they're tubeless. And I've never done tubeless tires before. I've always, growing up, it was always tubes. And I knew how to change a tube, but I didn't know how to do a tubeless tire. And so, what do? You go to YouTube. And so, whatever you have a problem, you can just Google in YouTube and you can figure out how to do it. And but, you know, it's sad today, though, that we try to figure out things ourselves. We go through hard times, we get into difficult situations, And what do? We rely on our own understanding. We figure it out on our own. You know, there's a familiar verse that we need to heed. And I know it's Miss Melinda's favorite. Yeah, I'm reading her lips. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. And most of you know that verse. What does it say? Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not into thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. You know, I like that verse because it says, lean not unto thine own understanding. And that's what we do a lot. We lean on our own understanding. We make decisions based on our own understanding of things. The point I'm trying to make is we need to recognize who Christ is. He's a counselor. He's wonderful in counselor. He's there for us to draw near to him and to seek his counsel. He's ready to give his counsel, and good counsel at that. And it says in those verses in Proverbs, we're to trust in the Lord. And what are some reasons tonight that why we should trust Jesus as our wonderful counselor? That's what we're going to look at. This is going to be the main body of the message. All that was introduction. So the main body of the message is this. Why should we trust Jesus to be our wonderful counselor? Why should we not lean on our understanding but go to Jesus? Why is that? Well, I'm going to give you four things tonight. The first one is this. Jesus is competent like no other. Jesus is competent like no other to be our counselor. You know, there's no one who is as suitable, qualified, and equipped like Jesus. Not a one. And why is this so? Well, a couple of things. One, he's full of wisdom. I mean, Scripture talks about the wisdom of Christ many, many times. And I thought about, since we're in Isaiah, if you look in chapter 11, there's another prophecy about the Messiah. And he says about the Messiah in verse 2, and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, and the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. And so notice what it says about the Messiah. It says that the Spirit of the Lord is going to rest upon him. And what spirit is that? It says the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. So Christ, we see in the Gospels that he was filled with the Holy Spirit. He was full of wisdom. And there's a verse that I also want to take you to in Colossians again. If you'll go back to the New Testament in Colossians in chapter 2, I really love this verse. Colossians 2 and verse 3 is talking about Christ here. And it says this, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. So I want you to think about this, what Paul's saying here. Not some, but all. All the treasures of wisdom. All the treasures of knowledge are found in Jesus. Do you know what that's saying? That Christ has all knowledge. He's all knowing. He's all wise. He's omniscient. Is a word we use of God. That's one of the characteristics of God, meaning all knowing. That's Christ. That's what this verse is saying, that hid inside of Christ is all wisdom, all the treasures of wisdom. And you know, the Scriptures looks at wisdom as a treasure to be sought. And maybe read Proverbs chapter 2 sometime, those first four verses, and it talks about the treasures of wisdom and how to get them. But I'll tell you where they're found. They're found in Christ. They're found in Christ. So we have this infinite wisdom available to us in the person of Christ, who is wonderful in counselor. He's a counselor. But there's a second thing. He's fully God and fully man. So he's competent because he's fully God and fully man. If you're still in Colossians 2 and verse 9, it says this, "For in him dwelleth all of the fullness of the Godhead bodily." He had a body when he was born in Bethlehem. He was made flesh, the Son of God, who lived in all eternity past. He came and was made flesh. And it says, in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And so what we have here is the scripture teaches that Christ is fully God, fully man. He's the God-man. And so I want you to think about how that makes him competent to be our counselor. He's equipped to be our counselor because he's God. I mean, he's full of wisdom. He's omniscient. He knows all things. And he's all wise. But yet also he's man. And you know, he's a counselor in the sense of our mediator. Remember in 1 Timothy 2:5 it says, "For there is one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus." You know, being God, he's able to mediate with God, but being man, he's able to reach down and take us and bring the two together. He in Hebrews, as we've been studying all year, Hebrews, Christ was made flesh so that he could be a merciful and faithful high priest. He was made flesh so that he could experience and be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, so that he could face temptations. And you know, so Christ, he is competent to counsel us. He's not just fully God. You know, some people think, well, God don't understand because he's never sinned and God doesn't have a body like us. But Christ was also fully man. Though he never sinned, he was tempted like as we are. And so he experienced all the things of this life, and he is fully competent to counsel us because of these two things. He's full of wisdom, and he's fully God and fully man. So Jesus, he is a competent counselor. Why would we not go to him? I mean, we could stop there. I mean, that's sufficient for me. I mean, he's competent, so I should go to him because he's full of wisdom, and he's the God-man. He's able to give me the counsel that I need. Well, let's go to the second one tonight, and that is this. Jesus is compassionate like no other. He is compassionate like no other. You know, this is one of the reasons that he's a counselor like no other, is because he has compassion for sinners like you and I. He has compassion. You know, there may be people that come to us that want some help, but we don't have any compassion for them. Have you ever seen people like that? Have you ever, I mean, had people come up to you and you didn't want to talk to them? I've had many people come up to the church, and, you know, especially these transients coming through, and a lot of times, I'm just honest, a lot of times I don't have compassion. But I'm thankful Jesus, he's compassionate. You know, when we look in the Gospels, we see his compassion for sinners. Matthew 9:37, when he looked out there at the world, he saw them as sheep having no shepherd. It says he was moved with compassion. We're not talking about people that are good and godly and church-going and righteous people. We're talking about sinners here. He was compassionate toward them. You see, throughout his ministry, he's ministering to them. He's reaching out to them. He was friend of sinners. And so that's what sets him apart from any other counselor that you'll ever see. And I'm not saying you should never see a human counselor, because there are times that we need to get some help. But what I'm saying is there's none like Jesus, because he has compassion for you and I. And his compassion, it continues in his ministry in heaven today at the throne of grace. You know, he cares for you. I want you to look at 1 Peter 5:7. He's compassionate like no other because he cares for you. 1 Peter 5:7 says this, "Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you." Casting all your care. I mean, that word care, it's pretty general. It's not just talking about just troubles and anxieties, but it could also be perplexities and things like that. When you're perplexed and you don't know what to do, that's a care, that's a burden. When you need help, you need guidance, that's a care. And he says here, casting all your cares upon him, for he careth for you. There's no one that cares like Jesus. But here's another thought. He sympathizes with you. And this is my favorite verse on this thought. Hebrews 4:15. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. What that's saying is that Jesus, he's a high priest that's touched with the feeling of our infirmities. He is moved. When we hurt, we hurt. I think it was Brother Tim that shared this one time. He shared a definition of compassion, that it's my pain in his heart. And I thought that was good. That's compassion, my pain in his heart. And he has compassion because he hurts when we hurt. He feels our hurt. He can sympathize with us, because the Bible says he is touched with the feeling of our infirmity. So there's no one that cares for us like Jesus. Nobody that shows compassion like Jesus. So Jesus is a compassionate counselor. Think about that. He's a compassionate counselor, not just a competent. He's not just able to counsel us, but he's compassionate toward us. Let's look at the third one. Jesus is confidential like no other. He's confidential. You know, Jesus won't put it on Facebook or Twitter, whatever you go and tell him. Think about that. He's not going to go tell your friends. He's not going to tell other church members when you tell him your burdens and your hurts, because he is a confidential counselor. We can trust him. He's trustworthy. I don't have a verse for this one. I just threw this one in here, okay? But it is true. I could find a verse. I mean, Proverbs 3:5. I mean, that's good enough. Trust in the Lord. I mean, you can trust him with your information. You can trust him with your life. He is a confidential counselor. And I've just given you some reasons why you should come to him, why you should go to him for counsel on a daily basis. You should go to him because he's competent. Think of who he is. I mean, he's very competent. He's compassionate. He cares about your situation. Unlike maybe some counselors and even some pastors and some Christians. I mean, you may go to them and you may pour out your heart to them, and they may not just really care, or maybe not really understand, but Jesus does. Jesus does, and he's a confidential counselor. But let's look at the last one. Jesus is close like no other. He is close like no other. He's always accessible to us. Always accessible. He's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Always near. He's available at any time. He always has time for us. Have you ever thought about that? You know, for a counselor, a professional counselor, you have to get an appointment. You have to wait. You know, counselors, they have office hours, but I'm thankful Jesus doesn't have office hours. Aren't you thankful for that? He's available 24/7. He's available. He's accessible. He's accessible by faith. I mean, we come to him by faith. The Bible tells us that because of our faith in Christ, because of our salvation, that we have access to the throne of grace. And think about this. You know, the Holy Spirit that lives in us. Now, the Trinity is one of those doctrines that it's sometimes hard to comprehend. And there's no verse that says Trinity, but The Trinity of Godhead is clearly taught throughout the Bible. You see the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit. These three are one, but yet they're also distinct personalities. You have the Father, you have the Son, you have the Holy Spirit. But they're one at the same time. But us having the Holy Spirit living in us, it's the presence of God in us. It's the same as the presence of Jesus in us. Christ in you, Paul said, the hope of glory. How is Christ in me if he's, well, through the Holy Spirit? So I want you to think about that. How does he counsel me? Well, he lives in me. You know, there are some Christians today, especially in our circle, that refuse to believe that God speaks to us outside of the Word of God. And I will say that everything has to be measured by the Scriptures. We have to prove it by the Scriptures. But you know, those Scriptures we looked at were led by the Spirit. What does that mean? We are taught by the Spirit. You know, we don't have an audible voice. Jesus is not here in person to speak audibly to us, but we have his Spirit that bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. How do you explain that? I mean, let me ask you, when you got saved, did God speak to you? Yeah, the preacher may have been preaching. The Word of God may have been preached. The gospel was being preached. But I'm talking about internally. Did God speak to you? I've heard many testimonies of people saying this. I never remember what the preacher preached when I got saved, but I remember God calling me. What is that saying? God was speaking. I remember God was speaking to me in my spirit. I never heard an audible voice, but I knew God was speaking to me. I knew God was calling me to come to him for salvation. I remember when I surrendered my life to the Lord in 1988 on that New Year's Sunday. I remember God speaking to me clearly. I mean, many, many times I've heard God speak to me. Many times. I mean, I don't know how to explain it. It's not just an audible voice. It's just his Spirit speaking to my spirit. And you know what I'm talking about. If you're saved, it said, Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. How do we hear his voice? Through his spirit. Through his word. Through other spirit-filled believers. So God does speak today. He does counsel us. He is available to us. So when you go to him, you can expect an answer. You can expect him to counsel. You can expect him to guide you and to lead you. I was just talking with someone just this week, a church member, and fixing to have a procedure, and said, you know, this is her words. I'm thankful that God spoke to me and led me to go see this doctor. I mean, you know, how do you explain that? Well, it's true, and I think a lot of people avoid it because they think, well, you know, because we have this group in Christianity that goes way out there in wildfire. You know, God told me to do this, and God gave me this prophecy. No, I'm not saying that at all. I don't believe in that new revelation. I don't believe in God giving new prophecies today. I believe the Bible is complete. I believe it's all sufficient. This is our authority for all faith and practice. But what I'm saying is that if you have a relationship with God, he speaks to you by his Spirit, through his Word, through other believers. And he doesn't have office hours. He's always available. Here's Psalm 46:1. I love this verse. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. A very present help in trouble. Very present means that he's accessible, he's available, he's near at all times. He's close. He's close by. When we get in a troubling situation, he's close by. He's right there. And he invites us to come to him over and over in the scripture. I love Matthew 11:28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. That's not just for lost people, that's for believers. When we're heavy laden, we're burdened, we can come to Christ. Hebrews 4:16, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Think of James 1:5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. There's many scriptures out there that teach us that he's available. He wants to give us counsel. He wants to give us wisdom. He wants to guide us and direct us in our life. But we have to be willing to come to him. We have to have faith in him that he is a competent counselor, that he is a compassionate counselor. He's confidential. He's close. You know, if you're perplexed in your life right now, I want to say that you have someone who is competent to counsel you. It's Jesus Christ. He's competent. And this counsel that we're talking about is based on a relationship, and a relationship with this wonderful counselor. So I want to ask this before we conclude tonight. I want to ask this. Do you have a relationship with this wonderful counselor? Because that's where counsel is based on relationship. Knowing him. Having a personal relationship with him. But we need to consider him. As Hebrews 12:3 tells us, let's consider this thought tonight, that he's a counselor. That he's there for us. As a believer, are you really appreciating this aspect of Christ? Are you going to him daily for wisdom and direction? Do you really, honestly believe that he is competent to counsel you? I can tell you that I've counseled a lot of people as a pastor over the years, and I can tell you that people do not come if they don't believe or have confidence in me as a pastor to get counsel. That's one of my responsibilities, to be a counselor. I am a counselor, but I'm saying that Christ is the greatest. He's the greatest counselor. But the point I'm trying to make is that you have to have confidence in him to go to him. You have to trust him to go to him. You may think, well, it's really nothing important in my life. I don't really want to bother the Lord with this. And it's just nothing big, nothing major. But listen, Jesus is a compassionate counselor. Remember that. He cares about even the least of your worries. I mean, he cares. You may think it's nothing, but no, if it's something to you, he cares about it. And don't worry, he's a confidential counselor. He'll keep it confidential. You know, did you know this? That all of these names in Isaiah 9:4 have one goal and purpose? Is to draw us to Christ. I mean, that just came to me today. I mean, all these names, as we're going through them, his name should be called Wonderful. We looked at that last week, how he's wonderful in every way, that he's extraordinary. There's no one like Jesus. What is the purpose of us knowing that and meditating on that? To draw us close to him, to want to know him, to want to be near him, to want to know him better, to get closer to him. And this one, counselor, he's wonderful in counsel. What's the purpose of this? It's not just for our minds and just to hold it up in our minds. Oh, wow, that's neat. That's cool information. It's more than that. It's so we can go to him. It's so that on a daily basis we can go to Jesus and ask him for help, ask him for counsel, ask him for wisdom. The scripture tells us he'll give it to us if we ask him in faith. And best of all, he's very near and available. I mean, he's always there. I mean, it could be 2 a.m. in the morning and you wake up and something just troubling you. You don't have to wait till the next day to call someone to talk to him about your problem. You can get on your knees right then and there and talk to Jesus. He's a wonderful counselor. Wonderful in counsel. You know, before closing, I would like to make an application because, you know, I mentioned that one of the ways that the Lord counsels us is sometimes he uses other believers. And so I want to speak to all of us who are believers and make an application to you in that sense, to you as a counselor. You may not be a professional counselor. You may not be in that place, but I'm talking about in the sense of admonishing one another and encouraging one another in the body of Christ here. I want you to realize that Jesus is our model for counseling. He's our model. We should want to be like him. Anytime we give anybody counsel, let's think about these four things. I'm serious. Let's think about these four things. If we're going to give counsel to others, we should make sure we're competent to counsel by being knowledgeable of the ways and the Word of God. Let's not give counsel of something we're not knowledgeable of, but of things that we know and surely believe and that God has shown us and that we've experienced and we're living in our life. We are competent to counsel concerning that. We can encourage concerning that. So let's make sure we're competent by being knowledgeable and filled with the Spirit like Jesus was. But also we should make sure we're compassionate, to really care about those that we're counseling. It's easy just to tell somebody to do something. Oh, you should do this or you should do that. But we should really care. We should really pray about it. We should really asking Jesus, the wonderful counselor, for wisdom before we give counsel. And I don't know how many times I've had to do that. I said, Lord, I don't even know what to say. I don't know what kind of counsel to give in this situation. I need you to give me wisdom. And he'd give me scriptures. He'd point me in the direction of a scripture. I'd start reading and I'd get the answer. But, you know, it's important to have compassion like Jesus had compassion. So those that we're counseling, we should be compassionate. We should be confidential, just like Jesus is. Confidential. And people share things with us in confidence. We should be confidential. We really should. We should really be careful about that. And we should be available. We should be close, available, when people need us. And Why does somebody in the church or some family member calls you at 2 o'clock in the morning? What do you do? Why are you calling me this time now? You know, we should really honestly look at it as an opportunity to be used of the Lord to help someone, to counsel someone. And so Jesus is our model. So we go to him, but also let's be willing to be used of him. And to help others, to be a vessel in his hands, and following these four principles in our own life when we try to be a counselor and admonish one another. So he is a wonderful counselor, amen? Wonderful in counsel. I mean, this is just the surface of it. I mean, there's just so much more, but this kind of gives you an overview of why we should trust Jesus as a wonderful counselor, why we should go to him. It should be, he should be our first go-to. Whenever we get into a situation in life, we need counsel, we need help. He should be our first go-to. Before we go to anybody else, let's go to him. Amen. Try it sometime. Try it. Don't make it last resort. A lot of times it's last resort. People go to Jesus. No, first, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Seek Christ first. Be confident in his ability to meet your need in that needy time. Let's pray. Father, we thank you tonight for showing us a truth about your son Jesus. And he's so many things to us, but tonight as we're looking at, he's wonderful in counsel. And wow, what a need today, because of things today can be so perplexing. Life can be so complicated, and there's so much confusion that comes into our life because of the work of the enemy, Satan. He's always at work through various means of media and different things, using people and lies and causing so much confusion in our lives. Lord, thank you for giving us Jesus, your son. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for being a wonderful counselor, someone who is competent. You're full of wisdom. You're all-knowing, all-wise. And you know exactly what we're going through. You know exactly our need and the answer to our questions. Lord, help us to go to you in times of need. Thank you for your compassion for us. You're so compassionate in our infirmities, Lord, in our weaknesses, even our moral weaknesses, when we struggle with the flesh and sin. You're compassionate. We can come to you as our advocate before the Father when we sin. We're thankful for your compassion and your care for us and our burdens and needs. And we're thankful you're confidential, and we're thankful that you're close by. You're available 24/7. We can go to you any hour of the day or night. You're nearby. We praise you for that, Lord Jesus. And I pray that you'd help us to draw near to you when we are perplexed, or even when we're not, that we would constantly be seeking your counsel and for our lives and your direction. Lord, as we're getting ready to face a new year here, less than a month, Lord, give us direction as a church and what you'd have us to do for the new year, what the focus should be for our church, for our ministries. Lord, we need your direction. We need your divine counsel in our church. Lord, we want to please you. We want to do your will in 2023. So God, we're trusting you to guide and direct us in the new year, and not just as a church, but in our lives personally, in our families. Lord, is your will for our families, Lord, that you would guide us and direct. Help us to seek your counsel, oh Lord. And Lord, we also recognize there are times that you use people. You use your people and spirit-filled, godly believers to give us wise counsel. And there's so much in Proverbs that speaks to that, that in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. Sometimes there are times in our spiritual life where we're not hearing you speak clearly. We're needing other godly, spirit-filled believers to help us. And so, Lord, help us not to hesitate to also seek the counsel of those who are walking with Christ. And, Lord, we know that all things we measure by your word. We know you'd never lead us outside of the scriptures, outside of what you've already laid down. But Father, I pray that you'd help us to have the humility to seek your counsel and not to try to figure it out on our own, but that we'd trust in the Lord with all of our hearts and let you direct our paths. Lord, we thank you for showing us this aspect of Jesus tonight. We love you, and we pray these things in the wonderful name of Jesus, our counselor. Amen.